My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, children of our resurrected Lord, throughout the course of the church year, we hear several rather simple teachings of Scripture explained to us in rather simple words, so simple that a child can understand them. For instance, every December, we listen as an angel announces, Christ the Savior is born. And we get it. We know what that means. We can understand how those words impact our lives. And then in March, we listen as Jesus tells us that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of men. He must suffer many things and then be crucified. And we get it. We understand what Jesus is teaching us there, and we understand the implication of that, that Jesus came to suffer and die to take away our sins. And then we listen to the angel at the tomb as he announces to us, he is not here, he has risen, just as he said. And we get it. We know exactly what it means. We know exactly how that affects our lives going forward. And yet with each one of those small, simple statements, there's a profoundness that comes with it. There is a depth to it where we see the depth of God's love and God's mercy, and as we apply those words to our lives. The same thing happens as John writes his letter to us today. He says something rather simple. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And we hear those words and we get it. We know what he's talking about. When we love, it's not just the words that we speak. When we love, it also flows into the actions that we do. For instance, when you look at your neighbor, you don't go to your neighbor and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then spend the next day beating your neighbor and tormenting him and making his life miserable. That's not the way it works. No, when you look at your neighbor, you say to your neighbor, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then you spend the remainder of the day showing respect to your neighbor and honoring your neighbor and helping your neighbor in the areas that he needs help. We understand what the words mean. And yet John comes to us and he writes these simple words that we already understand, because even though we understand what it means, it is so, so difficult for us to do. And because it is so, so difficult for us to take these words and actually put them into practice and consistently practice those words, there are times that our heart can come to us and scream at us, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to say that you are a Christian loving your neighbor? Who do you think you are to think that you can keep God's commands to love? Who do you think you are? And so John comes and he lays out this rather simple sentence that we all completely understand. And then he spends some time reminding us of that foundation, why we are able to carry out that simple command, why we are able to show these acts of love. And as he does so, he helps you understand who you are, why you can sit there and say, I am someone who loves my neighbor. I am someone who doesn't just speak, but acts. And as he does so, he takes down those barriers that keep you from doing those things. And he reminds you how you are connected to Christ and how that connection enables you to love one another. John begins by saying, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Do you ever find yourself struggling with doubts in your walk with God? Do you ever sit there at night as the darkness falls and have your heart sit there and start to scream at you? Are you really a child of God? Do you remember how you acted like that? Do you remember how your words hurt that person? Do you remember the effect that your sin had over here? How can you call yourself a child of God if that's the way you're acting, if that's what you're doing? The Apostle John, earlier in the letter, already addressed that general doubt that can come into our minds as our heart accuses us in those dark hours of the night. The very beginning of the letter, he reminded us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And yet, even though we have been purified, and even though we have been made righteous in Christ, and even though we lay in our bed at night with peace, knowing that we have been made righteous in Christ, we still have a heart, we still have a conscience that can sit there and start accusing. And it seems to accuse in overdrive. Because it doesn't just pick on who you are, but it takes those different acts of love that you have done throughout the day, and it takes those acts of love and criticizes those acts of love and points to those and says, who are you to think you can do that? And so let's imagine for a moment that your neighbor is sick, and you find out that your neighbor is sick. And so you decide, because you remember Grandma always told you, if you're sick, eat chicken noodle soup. You decide to make chicken noodle soup for your neighbor. And so you take the chicken noodle soup over, and you take it to your neighbor's door, and you knock on it, and as you're handing the soup to them, you ask how they're doing. And as you talk to them and you find out that there are a couple things that they have to do before they can rest, and so you invite yourself in and you take care of those couple things for them so that they can actually rest and they can recover. And then you go back to your car to drive home. And after you get home, it's very easy for that heart to start talking. Are you sure you love them enough? Were you empathetic enough? Maybe you should have stayed and done a couple more things to help them as they recuperate. Or sometimes the heart attacks the motive. Well, you weren't in a very good mood as you gave them that soup. Just because you spilled a little hot soup on your arm doesn't mean that you should have a bad mood. And what does that heart do? That heart attacks that act of love that you have done for your neighbor. And it tries to diminish it. It tries to make it disappear. And yet the heart can accuse even worse than that. Let's imagine for a moment that you have a day off. And as you look around your house on your day off, you notice that the laundry's piling up. And you notice that honey-do list that's there. And so you decide, well, I'm going to make that mountain of laundry a little smaller. And I'm going to start working my way through that honey-do list, and you chip away at those things all day. It's your act of service towards your family. And then after the day passes, then there's the hustle and bustle of the children as they come home from school. And so you set your list aside, and you spend time talking to your kids about how their day was and what was good and what was bad, and they spend some time talking to you before they disappear into wherever they disappear to. And then it's time for dinner, so you start preparing dinner. And then after dinner, you help them with their homework. And then you get them off to bed, and you pause, and you breathe a sigh of relief. And then you sit down, and what does that heart start doing? That heart starts accusing again. Did you do enough? You should have done more. Why didn't you finish everything on your list? Were you really empathetic with your children? Did you really support them for that bad part of the day, even as you rejoiced with them for that good part of the day? And what does it do? It takes that act of love that you exhibited as you carried out the responsibilities God has placed in your day, and it tries to make it seem like it wasn't that loving at all. Our heart has a way of criticizing our love in action. Our heart has a way of sitting there and trying to say, you haven't done enough, you haven't loved hard enough, you haven't loved empathetically enough. And it continues to pick at that, and it picks at it, and it picks at it. And as it picks on it, it can lead you to despair. It can lead you to wonder, am I really a good Christian? And John understands that despair that can come into your hearts as your heart accuses you of not loving enough. But it's in the midst of that doubt that John writes to you and reminds you of how God quietly comes to you in his love. And how God quietly calms that racing heart. And as God reminds you how he sees that act of love as you love your neighbor. How he sees it as a fragrant offering offered to him. Because John says, God is greater than your heart, and he knows all things. Which means God was there as you started the day, and as you started to carry out that honey-do list in service to your family. And God was there, and God saw your motive as you brought that bowl of chicken noodle soup to your neighbor. And God was there, and he saw how everything played out in real time. And God knows something else as well. God knows that you have been connected to Christ, who is that living vine. And because you've been connected to Christ, you have been robed in his righteousness, and you've been covered by his holiness. And so when God looks at you, and when he sees the acts of love you do for your neighbor, he sees you through his Christ-colored glasses. Which means that as God looks at you and as he looks at your acts of love, he sees perfect acts of love because they are clothed in Christ's perfection. And when he looks at the motive of your love and your acts of love for your neighbor, he sees them through the righteousness of Christ. And when your heart sits there and accuses you of not being loving enough, of not doing enough, he reminds you that he sees your act of love as though Jesus himself were carrying out that act of love, blameless and pure and holy. And he sees it that way because you are connected to Christ. And if God sees your acts of love through the glasses of Christ, not only does that silence that accusing heart, because God knows all things, but it also equips you to continue to carry out those acts of love with confidence. And John lists one specific way that you can carry out those acts of love with confidence. Because he says you've been purified by Christ. And if you've been purified by Christ, you now have confidence to go before his throne of grace with your prayers. He says to you, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him." And do you notice how John combines your acts of love and the confidence that you have as you approach God, and he puts them together as though they go hand in hand? God answers your prayers when you pray according to his will. God hears your prayers because as you pray, you are doing what is pleasing to him. And he says one of those ways that you take your love for your neighbor and you put that love into action is by taking your prayer and lifting them up in prayer before your Father's throne in grace. And so one of the ways that we love our neighbor is by doing just that. We see our neighbor going through hard times and we pray for our neighbor. We see our neighbor who is struggling with illness and we bring their illness before the throne of God. We watch our neighbor as they go off to work in the morning or as they come home from work in the evening, and we lift our neighbor up and their day and their use of their abilities before our Father's throne in heaven. And God rejoices as you do this. And God is pleased as you do this. And God gives you the assurance that he hears your prayers, because he has already purified you, and he's already made you clean, and he's already given you access to him through Jesus. And God assures you that he will answer the prayers that you bring on behalf of your neighbor in accord with his glorious will. And so you may have noticed, every Sunday after the sermon and after we say the creed, we go to the altar and we speak the prayer of the church. And there's a reason for that. On the one hand, we bring our prayers because we know that God has commanded us to pray. But if, as you focus on the words that we use in that prayer, it is a prayer spoken out of love. It is a prayer spoken on behalf of our neighbors. And so we lift our neighbors up before the Lord. We pray for our community before the Lord. We take those who are sick and are ill, and we pray to them before the Lord. And we do it in part because it's pleasing to God, but we do it also because this is how we love. And we do it because we've been made clean by Jesus. And as we bring those prayers to the Lord, that's one example that John points to. And he says, this is how you know you are connected to Christ. Because these prayers are prayers that are given in love because you are connected to Christ. Finally, John takes a moment and he gives us one more way to find comfort as we follow after him and as we love our neighbor. He reminds us of our motivation. He says to you, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. We remain connected to Christ as we do what he commands. And he commands us to believe in the name of his Son. And again, we understand what that means, but there's a depth to that. You see, as we believe in the name of his Son, we are not just acknowledging and believing that the name of Jesus is the one that saves us and the name of Jesus is the one that gives us eternal life. We are also sitting there and we are assenting to the fact that everything that that name of Jesus stands for is also true and also proper and also good. And so as we believe in the name of Jesus, we are expressing a faith in Jesus' work for us as he suffers and dies and rises on the third day to make us pure and to make us holy and to connect us to him. And as we believe in the name of Jesus, we are also acknowledging the fact that those things that Jesus teaches us in his word, that the Holy Spirit reveals to us in Scripture, those things are true and those things are beneficial and those things are good for us to not only hear, but to learn and to put into action. Our faith confesses that a trust in Jesus naturally flows into bearing the fruit of that faith. A faith in Jesus naturally flows into those acts of love, not just in our words, but also in our actions. Because faith in the name of Jesus produces fruit in keeping with that faith. And as we believe in the name of Jesus, we discover just how beautiful that connection is with him. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. God dwells in us and we dwell in God. And through that dwelling, we express a beautiful unity between God and ourselves. And then John emphasizes, and this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. And so John comes around full circle to where he started at the very beginning. In the midst of urging us to obey his commands, in the midst of urging us to believe in the name of Jesus and to show love to one another, he helps us see how that showing of love to one another is connected to that faith we have in Jesus. He points us to his Spirit, the Spirit who dwells in us as he gives us faith, and he brings us to a knowledge of our Lord and Savior, the Spirit who not only gives us that faith, but strengthens that faith and maintains that faith and builds that faith as we continue to trust in him. And because he has strengthened you in your faith, he also strengthens you to carry out those good works, such as loving one another. Because you cannot separate your life of faith from your life of producing fruit. Faith produces fruit. And being connected to Christ results in bearing those acts of love that naturally flow from being connected in Christ. And so you go back to those doubts. And those doubts that come in, those doubts that sit there and say, who do you think you are? And God points you to his Spirit who dwells in you. And he points you to the works that you produce as a result of that Spirit dwelling in you. And when those doubts come, he reminds you that you can say, I am a child of God. I am connected to Christ. And because I am connected to Christ, I am equipped to love my neighbor. Amen.